Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design. I'm Tom Gilson, here to introduce you to a double feature podcast today on intellectual diversity and the forces that seek to squash it. Today, you'll hear Sarah Chaffee responding to a New York Times column in which Nicholas Kristof almost gets it right on intellectual diversity, but not quite. And she'll be followed by David Klinghoffer, describing how the anti-science label gets used to squash ideas without debate. We begin with Sarah.
In his New York Times column recently, Nicholas Kristof offered, quote, a confession of liberal intolerance, unquote. A liberal himself, Kristof acknowledges that universities welcome many kinds of diversity, except the political and philosophical kind. We could add another. Viewpoints on evolution and intelligent design. Kristof paints a stark picture of discrimination directed against conservatives and evangelicals. Quote, I am the equivalent of someone who is gay in Mississippi in 1950, a conservative professor is quoted as saying in Passing on the Right, a new book about right-wing faculty members by John A. Shields and Joshua M. Dunn Sr. That's a metaphor that conservative scholars often use, with talk of remaining in the closet early in one's career and then coming out after receiving tenure, unquote. This hostile environment sounds uncannily like the one ID proponents face. Think of Richard Sternberg, who as editor of Proceedings of the Biological Society of Washington, faced retaliation after publishing a peer-reviewed article favorable to intelligent design. Scientific orthodoxy in academia poses a threat to anyone who may not have the correct Darwinian perspective. At Discovery Institute, we're very cognizant of this. Take, for example, this note by David Klinghoffer. Quote, young and vulnerable researchers with iconoclastic ideas about Darwinian evolution can face threats of career devastation if they open their mouths imprudently. That's one reason we are very careful about protecting the identity of students and scholars who are accepted to participate in our summer seminars. I recall being overzealous once about cropping out students in a photo of a seminar session to be published here at Evolution News. I worried that someone might be recognizable by the back of his or her head. A colleague reminded me, we don't worry about backs of heads, unquote. Actually, of late, we've revised that policy. We do worry about backs of heads. Such is the unfortunate reality when it comes to academic freedom on American campuses. But Kristof rebukes universities for their political intolerance, noting that lack of intellectual diversity harms quality of education, making classrooms into echo chambers rather than sounding boards. Kristof relies on Jonathan Haidt, a centrist social psychologist at New York University, who notes, quote, universities are unlike other institutions in that they absolutely require that people challenge each other so that the truth can emerge from limited, biased, flawed individuals. If they lose intellectual diversity, or if they develop norms of safety that trump challenge, they die. And that is what has been happening since the 1990s, unquote. In other words, education benefits from consideration of multiple viewpoints. Indeed, testing ideas against each other is vital. That absolutely requires intellectual diversity. Yet, we've seen case after case of universities that have forgotten this. It's interesting, for example, to reflect on how differently Baylor University would have treated advocates of intelligent design and evolution skeptics if scholars and administrators valued such diversity in science. Perhaps Baylor wouldn't have removed William Dembski from his post leading the Michael Pollyanny Research Center, which engaged in ID-related research. Initially denied legal scholar Francis Beckwith tenure before deciding to reverse that decision, or taken off their website Dr. Robert Marks's grant-funded research project in evolutionary computing, the Evolutionary Informatics Lab. But in a follow-up article, Kristof makes clear that he doesn't think tolerating differences in academia should extend to dissent from evolution. Quote, mixed in here are legitimate issues. I don't think that a university should hire a nincompoop who disputes evolution or a racist who preaches inequality. But as I see it, The bigger problem is not that conservatives are infiltrating social science departments to spread hatred, but rather that liberals have turned departments into enclaves of ideological homogeneity. Sure, there are dumb or dogmatic conservatives, just as there are dumb and dogmatic liberals. So let's avoid those who are dumb and dogmatic without using politics or faith as a shorthand for mental acuity, unquote. What? First, Kristof groups descent from evolution with racism. Second, he labels anyone who questions evolutionary theory as a nincompoop. Not only is this not complimentary, but it ignores the growing scientific dissent from neo-Darwinism. Of course, Kristof finishes by offering reasons to accept political diversity, including that stereotyping and discrimination are wrong, intellectual diversity is helpful to universities, and covering multiple points of view increases the relevance of the university to ongoing policy discussions. But Kristof is inconsistent. This rare academic freedom advocate doesn't think tolerance should apply to alternate viewpoints on evolution. He gives no thoughtful reason for this exception. There is ongoing scientific debate over whether evolutionary mechanisms can explain life's diversity. In Altenburg, Austria, in 2008, a group of 16 distinguished biologists got together to discuss holes in neo-Darwinism. Out of this conference came the book Evolution, the Extended Synthesis. The scientists of the third wave of evolution reject intelligent design, but question the ability of natural selection and random mutations to generate diverse biological species. The late biologist and member of the National Academy of Sciences, Lynn Margulis, stated, quote, "New mutations don't create new species. They create offspring that are impaired," unquote. Over 950 PhD scientists have signed the Scientific Dissent from Darwinism list, publicly affirming that they are, quote, "skeptical of claims for the ability of random mutations and natural selection to account for the complexity of life," unquote. For a summary of evolutionary theory's weaknesses, along with links to scientific articles challenging the major mechanisms of neo-Darwinism, read Casey Luskin's article, The Top 10 Scientific Problems with Biological and Chemical Evolution, on discovery.org. Kristof also says, quote, "We liberals should have the self-confidence to believe that our values can triumph in a fair contest in the marketplace of ideas," unquote. Good. But a fair contest implies familiarizing yourself with competing ideas that are out there in the marketplace. That he has not apparently done, at least when it comes to evolution. Rather than dismiss dissenting scientists as nincompoops, Nick Kristof could stand to spend some time on self-education. This has been Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future.
For ID the Future, I'm David Klinghoffer. The quote anti-science label is like Frankenstein's monster. Designed by politically correct propagandists to serve their own purposes, namely blackening the reputation of skeptics on evolution and climate change, it has since turned against its inventors. The monster now pursues those creators almost, but not quite, to the exclusion of its originally intended targets. The aggressive Darwin-lobbying National Center for Science Education, for instance, has beat the drum for years, labeling doubters as, quote, anti-science, minus the hyphen, which always looks wrong to me from a copy-editing perspective, as if it should be pronounced anticience. But check out recent headlines and articles that use the term. Judging by Google News, you'll see the once pliable beast has gotten quite out of hand. For example, at Investor's Business Daily, we see, quote, "global warming alarmist reveals the anti-science con," close quote. At the Dallas Morning News, quote, "GMO fearmongering shows anti-science attitudes aren't limited to the right," close quote. At Forbes, "Nobelist to Greenpeace, drop your anti-science, anti-GMO campaign," close quote. Again, at Investor's Business Daily, which observes, quote, "two-thirds of Democrats are anti-science," quote, "look who's anti-science now," close quote. At CNS News, quote, "are anti-science Obama administration policies fostering Zika," close quote. At the Christian Post, quote, "Neil deGrasse Tyson to Bill Maher, Liberals are anti-science too, close quote. At Gizmodo, Neil deGrasse Tyson tells Bill Maher that anti-science liberals are full of SB2, close quote. Quote, pro-abortion group complains newspaper rejected ad calling pro-life people anti-science, close quote. That's at lifenews.com. Here's a suggestion. Let's everyone swear off the habit of avoiding debate by slapping invidious names and labels on people who disagree with you. That would be more honest. It would also be in line with mainstream public opinion. That came out in new survey data already noted here that gauged attitudes on academic freedom in science and related matters. One question, for example, asked, quote, rate your levels of agreement or disagreement with the following statement. People can disagree about what science says on a particular topic without being anti-science, close quote. If that sounds like common sense, it is, at least outside precincts where propaganda is the prime currency. A vast majority of respondents to the survey, 87%, agreed that you can differ with other people on science without being anti-science. The agreement crossed all measured demographic divides of age, sex, political, and religious belief. Atheists were the most likely to disagree, that is, evidently to wish, to retain the label anti-science as a cudgel against dissenters. But even there, it was a minority view with only 27%. A solid majority of 73% of atheists reject the anti-science label. To download the full survey results, go to evolutionnews.org and search for the phrase survey results. Will the National Center for Science Education and others accept this piece of free advice? Don't worry, I'm not holding my breath. I'm David Klinghoffer for ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.